Morning. Well, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter, as you know, we have started in the Gospel of Matthew, and I had every intention to continue preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. But it's been a week. It's been more like a month and a half. It's been a heavy, heavy time, and if you're anything like me, perhaps you need to hear this message from 1 Peter 5 this morning. I don't plan to do a deep dive into this particular passage, but just to reflect on some of the themes that Peter brings to our attention in this text, and pray that the Lord would lead us by His Spirit to reflect and rest on Him and His strength and grace. So we're going to be considering 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7 this morning. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and how it is truly a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, You reveal to us Your truth. You remind us of it by Your Spirit in the easy times and the light times of our lives, but also in the heavy and darker moments of our existence. Lord, we thank You for Your promise that You have declared to Your people that You will be with us always. Even to the end of the age, that You will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we pray that that would be ringing in our minds and our hearts this morning as we consider this truth from Your word. And Lord, we pray that You would minister to us as we leave this place today and walk for Your glory, and that You would be pleased to be gracious to us for our good. So use this jar of clay for Your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Quite a few years ago now, I went to be with a friend of mine in the hospital who was preparing for a heart surgery. And it was a relatively routine surgery. The success rate that the doctors gave him was like a 99% success rate. And so he had every reason to be confident and hopeful that the procedure was going to go well. There was really nothing to worry about. Those are really good odds, right? 99%. And yet my friend found himself overwhelmed with fear and with doubt. He kept trying to tell himself everything was going to be okay. The doctors had given him every reason to believe things would be just fine, that what they had said to him should be enough reassurance that he needed for his life. But deep down inside, he was still faced with the reality of the 1%, the possibility that something still could go wrong. And he had fear and doubt in his heart because he was seeking to find his assurance and his security in what the doctors had told him. They said everything was going to be okay, and yet he knew that they were only human. He knew there was still that 1%. He had fear and anxiety in his heart. He was trusting in the assurances of this world. He's trying to find hope in the stability and ability of man. And so as I sat next to him in his hospital bed, I read this passage from 1 Peter 5, chapter 6 through 7, and I prayed for him because I wanted for him, right before he went into his surgery, to reorient his thinking, to remind him of where his hope and his trust should be, to take his trust off of man and to place it firmly on his sovereign God. And that's what I hope to do with you and with me here this morning as we consider this word. I want to reorient our thinking, because there are likely things you will face in this year, perhaps have already faced at the beginning of this year, that will undoubtedly cause you to place your trust in yourself, to overcome the circumstances that you find yourself in, or to put your trust in other people and their ability to get you through or to carry you through whatever situation that you find yourself in. And I don't know what those circumstances will be. I don't know what the future holds for you, but I know some of you are already in the thick of it. And it's been very difficult to see a way out. But it's my hope that as you make your way through your present circumstances and even on into the rest of this year, that you will keep your eyes on your Lord. You will lift your eyes from the things that are here below and set them on things that are above. You would put your eyes, set your eyes on the Lord God Almighty and see that He is an all-powerful God, and He is a God who cares for you. And that as you approach the trials and circumstances and events in your life, that you would continually submit yourself to Him and cast your cares upon Him. And that's really the main point for you this morning. Submit yourself to your Lord and cast your cares upon Him. Now, in order to see this, in order to do this, to keep our eyes on the Lord and submit to Him, we first need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. Peter tells us that we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And why does he tell us to do that? Why does he tell us that we need to humble ourselves? Well, it seems to be the natural propensity of fallen man to think more highly of himself than he ought, isn't it? Time and time again throughout the scriptures, we see individuals and nations thinking more highly of themselves than they ought, putting trust in their own power, in their own ability, in their own greatness. We see this vividly portrayed for us in the book of Daniel, in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar, even being warned by the prophet Daniel himself to humble himself and submit himself to the Lord God Almighty. Even after having his dreams interpreted by Daniel and giving honor to God because he's the one who raises up kings and casts them down, Nebuchadnezzar still walked out on his balcony and looked at the greatness of his kingdom. And he said, wow, isn't this a wonderful kingdom? Isn't this an amazing kingdom? There's no kingdom on earth such as this that I have built in my own strength. This man was boasting in his ability and in his greatness. And it wasn't long. In fact, it was at that very moment that God struck him down and made him like a beast of the earth. The Lord God humbled his pride to the ground. And we might say, well, yeah, of course he would do that for the propensity that's found in fallen sinful men and unbelievers, but, you know, not God's people. But you know this isn't just the case for unbelievers in this life. You may look around you and find unbelievers who boast in themselves and are always prideful, trusting in themselves and their own ability, their own character, their own greatness. But friends, even God's people struggle with this. We have this propensity in ourselves. God warned the Israelites, didn't he? After they settled in the land, he told them, I have fought these battles for you, and you're going to settle down into the land of Canaan. You're going to begin building houses for yourself, begin planting gardens and tilling the earth with the animals. You're going to begin building buildings and having families, become prosperous. And how wonderful that will be. That's a good thing. But you're going to begin to think that it was by the works of your hands that these things came about. You're going to forget that I am the one who has delivered you. And so this propensity to prideful thinking, of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, exists even in God's people. And that's something that we need to be aware of. Because we are not who we think we are. We're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as wise or as intelligent as we think we are, and God has a way of humbling his people when they forget that, because it often means they forget him. There certainly have been circumstances in my own life, very evident circumstances, where God has used things and people to humble me and the way that I've thought about things. Challenge that kingdom that I thought I was building for myself. I would look out on my life, stand on the balcony of my life and think, wow, look at this great work that I have done. Forgetting that it's been the Lord all along. What have we received that has not been given to us? The Apostle Paul will say. The Lord has a way of humbling us so we don't forget him. And perhaps you've had experiences in your life as well where you can see where God is using circumstances or situations to challenge you, to change your thinking, to make sure that you know that you are just man and he is God. You see, Peter calls us to humble ourselves because, as he says in the verse prior, God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To be humble before God is to submit yourself to him, to acknowledge that he is in control and not you. You see, whenever we approach things in our lives and we want to trust in our own strength, we want to try to push through because it makes us feel good to think about the fact that we can do it, we can make it, to revel in the wonder that others have of us as they see how much we have done or how much we have accomplished, to show others and even to show ourselves that we can work hard enough at our jobs to earn the boss's approval or the approval of others. We can study hard enough, we can pass the exam, we can get the good grades, and people will be impressed. We can deal with and solve the relational problems in our lives, and people will be amazed at the wisdom we've been able to bring to bear and the emotional intelligence we have to engage with the people around us. We can come up with a solution for the busyness in our lives or the difficulties we're having with our children. We can manage the myriad of issues that we have. We can do it. And sometimes we just don't even think about God in any of it. We're so focused on what we can do. Or if we do think of the Lord, it's in the context of thinking that we can live good enough lives to earn his favor and blessing on our circumstances. Or maybe only think of him in the context of treating him as nothing more than a divine assistant to help us or clear the way for us. And again, we forget that all that we have, all that we do, all of it comes from the Lord. It is his strength. It's his blessing. It's his wisdom. It's his grace that gets us through. And so we need to humble ourselves and remind ourselves that this is the Lord's doing. And he should be marvelous in our eyes. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, submit ourselves to him, especially when we come into difficult circumstances. When trials come into our lives, we need to focus on the Lord and not immediately trust our own strength. And I think this is why so much anxiety and stress and pressure comes into our hearts, because we place the burden of our difficulties upon our own shoulders, and we think it's up to us to carry the responsibility and the difficulties that we are under. And so we place them on our own shoulders, but deep down inside, we know we can't bear it. We know we are fallible. Or perhaps we'll trust someone else to help us, the doctors to get us through, to perform that successful surgery. But deep down inside, we still know there's that 1%. Right? Something can go wrong. The doctors are fallible. Something can go wrong, and we begin to worry. Or perhaps we'll ask others to help us, to assist us. But maybe they'll do it wrong. Maybe they'll screw it up. They'll just make more of a mess than what I already started with. Then I'll have to fix it. I'll have to deal with it. And yet deep down inside, we know that we can't. We know that we can't. We have concern and anxiety and stress because we know that we could fail and others can as well. So what Peter's calling us to, reminding us of, is that we need to submit ourselves to the Lord, to the one who will not fail, the one who is sovereign and in control, who never fails, who always does what is right, who always does what is good. We submit ourselves to the Lord and by faith commit our worries and our concerns to Him. Casting all your anxieties upon Him, Peter says in verse 7. You see, the cares and concerns that we have in this life, we cast them upon the Lord. We don't keep them on ourselves. We don't place them on ourselves, but we humble ourselves and we give them over to the Lord. So when problems or troubles come into your life, it's not simply good enough to just say, well, I'm not going to think about this, so I'm not bothered by it, because they actually don't really go away. We just push them away for the time being. But you want to take them and you want to give them to the Lord who can handle them. This is what Peter is calling us to do. But how do we do that? How do we cast our cares upon the Lord? What do we do with our fears and anxieties that we have in this life? Well, there are two things that I think we can consider this morning. There's not just two things, but only two I'll give you today. And the first is that you can take that fear or that concern or that anxiety that you have and you can cast it upon, you can lay it upon a promise of God's word. And so just to use a couple examples here, think of death. Obviously, the last thing that you're going to have to experience in this life, one of the things that causes great fear in people's hearts, they're afraid of dying. What's going to happen to me after death? What do you do with that? Will you acknowledge the reality? Yes, I am going to die. And you take whatever fear is there and you place it upon the promise of God's word. Jesus says in John chapter 6, all those that the Father has given me, I will lose nothing. And I will raise them up on the last day. Do you fear death? Take that fear and place it on the promise of God and see that God's word can support it. God's word can sustain it. God himself can hold you. Do you fear not being accepted by God? Do you fear that your sin will keep you far from him? Take that fear, that concern, and lay it upon the promise of God's word. Psalm 103 tells us that God has separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sin no more. Or perhaps you think that you will never overcome the sin and temptation that you experience in your life. You will always and forever be defeated by it. We'll take that fear and lay it upon the promise of God's word. In Philippians, he who began a good work in you, what will he do? He'll bring it to completion. Perhaps maybe things more pressing, more things in this world, more practical things. Are you fearful that after you graduate high school or college, you won't be able to find a job to care for yourself, to provide for yourself or your family? Or maybe those of you who have a job, are you anxious and fearful about caring for yourself and for your family, providing for your household because things have just gotten so expensive? What do you do with that fear? Well, you turn to Matthew. Turn to the Sermon on the Mount. Read Jesus' words about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Read his words when he says that God cares for you so much more than he cares for them and that he will provide everything that you need. Friends, you take your cares and your concerns and you cast them on the Lord and his promises. This is one of the ways that you can cast your concerns on him. You lay them on the solid rock of God's word instead of trying to bear them yourself. Well, the second thing you can do is simply express your care and concern to him in prayer. Acknowledge that he is the one who can help you. Paul talks about this, right? To express your anxieties and your concerns and your fears to him in prayer. The very act of going to the Lord in prayer shows your submission to him. It's a disposition of humility towards God because you need him. You're calling upon the name of the Lord to help you, and you are trusting in his goodness, trusting in his sovereignty and his care to provide for you whatever you need. And you may not be able to see how you are going to make it forward. You may not be able to understand how God could possibly deliver you from your next trial that you face, but you still give it into God's hands, trusting that He knows more than you do. He can see further than you can see. He's wiser than you are, and He is able to carry you through whatever circumstances He, in His providence, has brought you into. You trust in Him. You trust in the promises of God's Word, who says that He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and at the same time works all things together for your good. Those of you who love Him and are called according to His purposes. So we turn to the Lord in prayer and trust Him to take care of our situations, to carry us through. And Peter gives us good reason why we should turn to this God and why we should cast our cares upon this God. He tells us about this God. He gives us two reasons we can have confidence and hope in submitting ourselves to Him and casting our cares upon Him. And the first is that God has a mighty hand. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. God has a mighty hand. You see, it would be a silly thing to humble yourself or to submit yourself to someone who is weak, right? To who is someone who is impotent, a weak God. But that's not what Peter is calling you to do. He tells you to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. That phrase, the mighty hand of God, is used time and time again throughout the Old Testament to refer to the way in which God delivers His people. Peter's trying to drive our minds back to the work that God has done in the past for His people, to remember how He has worked for them. The Lord brought His people out of Egypt, and God says it was with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm I delivered you from oppression in Egypt. And what was it that God did for His people? They were under bondage. They were enslaved in Egypt, and they could do nothing to save or deliver themselves from their circumstances. And God brought plagues upon the Egyptians, each one of those plagues directed at a particular god which the Egyptians worshipped. And what was God doing? What was He showing? What was He saying? By His mighty hand, He was declaring that I am the only sovereign God. I am the Almighty God. These are lesser gods. These are false gods. They're impotent gods. I am not like them. I have defeated all of them, and I have delivered you out of slavery with a mighty hand. This is what I work for you. And even when the people found themselves at the Red Sea with the army of Pharaoh bearing down upon them to destroy them, and they could not see a way out. They couldn't see a way forward. Many of you perhaps feel that. You just can't see a way forward or a way out of your situation or your circumstances. It was the Lord who carried them through, who by His mighty hand did something far beyond their wildest expectations. He parted the waters. He rescued His people and eventually brought them to the place of rest. The mighty hand of God is a hand of an omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. And it's to this God that we submit ourselves. It's to this God that we humble ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we have a God who can take care of us. He is a God who can take care of us in our circumstances. He is no little God. He is a God of whom the Incredible Hulk could never say, puny God. Never. Never. He is the God of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Once again, the one who works all things after the counsel of His own will. If there's anybody you can humble yourself before, if there's anybody you can cast your cares upon, it is this God, this mighty God. That's the first thing Peter tells us about this God. The second thing Peter tells us is found in verse 7, you cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He's not just some ultimate powerful God in the universe distant from you, but this almighty powerful God is a God who cares for you. His concern is for you. He is interested in you. He loves you. And if you're not convinced of that, all you need to do is reflect on what Jesus has done for you. God was willing to send his only begotten Son into the world, the one whom he has loved from all eternity, willing to send him into this world to live, to suffer, to die, to bear the eternal weight of God's wrath for you so that you could be saved. You can't tell me that he doesn't care for you. You can cast your cares upon this God because he does care for you. And beyond that, he has given you his Holy Spirit, the one whom he calls the Comforter. Why? Because he cares for you. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father right now praying for you. Why? Because he cares for you. And he knows how to care for you oh so well. Jesus became flesh, became man, just like one of us, one who could sympathize with us in our weaknesses. That's one of the great reasons God became man. Not just to fulfill the penalty that we deserved and to live the righteous life for us, but so that he could comfort us in our afflictions. Jesus, the God-man, knows what it's like to be one of us, to pray for us, to sympathize with us. He cares for you. And so you cast all of your cares upon him because he is the all-powerful God and because he cares for you. One of the things that we need to remember always is this is ultimately seen in God's work of salvation for us. That before we were saved, we perhaps strived to be right with God, being prideful before him, trying to boast in what we could do before him. But what did we need to do? Fall to our knees, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might deliver us from our bondage to sin and to death. It was his mighty hand that delivered us. And you see, humbling ourselves before the Lord God, Peter tells us in verse 6, results in the fact that we are exalted in due time. Peter says, submit yourselves, humble yourselves to God, and he will exalt you in due time. He will bring about those things which God desires to work in your life, bringing about salvation, bringing about sanctification, bringing about a godly life lived for him from your heart, even in and through your hard circumstances. And this he can and will do, because this is just what he has done with his own Son. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who humbled himself under the will of God, even giving himself over to affliction and death for your sin and for your salvation, committing himself into the hands of his mighty God and Father. And it was the Lord who did not leave him in death or the grave, but who exalted him in due time by raising him up to new life. Friends, it is this mighty, caring, life-giving God who has promised to be with you always. What a blessing we have as God's people. And so as you approach this coming week or the rest of this year, as you face the difficulties or decisions or trials that may come, or perhaps the ones you are already in, you have two options. You can trust in yourself, your own ability or others' abilities alone to help you, your own fallible understanding and your own puny strength, or to submit yourself to the sovereign God, an almighty God, a God who cares for you, trusting in his promises, praying to him based on his word, trusting that he will provide for you all you need to glorify him and to be glorified in him. As they wheeled my friend back for surgery, he found himself at peace, because by the grace of the Holy Spirit, he could rest in the hand of his mighty God, a God who cared for him. Friends, this morning I pray that you will, as Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all of your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. And may he be glorified for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you now, recognizing our own weaknesses, our own shortcomings, and even confessing, Lord, the ways in which we have sought to stand in our own strength, to bear our own burdens, to do that because we think we're capable, or to do that because we want others to think that we are. But Lord, we pray that you would remove any notion of that from us, that you, by your Spirit, would humble us before you, and that we would cast all that we are, our souls, our lives, everything that we have and seek to do upon you, our mighty God, the one who cares for us far more than we even care for ourselves. And please, Lord God, glorify yourself even in the midst of our circumstances, and we wait upon you to exalt us in due time. Do this for your glory and for our good. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.